Fuck it, let's go bowling.
This is Pure Decking for Thursday, January the 16th. I believe it is, we did have a fuck it right there in the very opening of the show, didn't we?
I was like, man, not even IGN can top that.
Right. Oh, well. Who cares? This is the show about stuff that interests me, like descending into a police state, information security, and just what the hell is in this beer. I'm Morps, and tonight... we have Madman. Madman, what are you drinking?
Shock Top Pumpkin.
We have RU46. RU, what are you drinking?
Very old coffee and that burnt. Ow, too quick.
And we have Sard. I'm not sure if we actually care what Sard's drinking. I'm kidding. Sard, what are you drinking?
Rum and Coke.
Rum and Coke, not bad. So, a little bit of station news. We're still screwing with the back end. It's starting to stable out. We've had a couple of network hiccups, so I'm just trying to keep an eye on that. We're probably going to be completely revamping the website soon, moving it over to the, consolidating our hosting and kind of changing up the way most of the shows are hosted. So watch out for that. It's part of the reason why the site hasn't really been updated lately. The other part is laziness. We had some stuff up on the box. We just hadn't had a chance to get it out and figure out how we're doing everything yet. So, video games. So, I'm fairly behind. I'm pretty sure I still have the Thanksgiving message up on the front of the website. So I might want to, check that. So we are still updating we are still doing the show. We just haven't been diligent about keeping the website updated. So, yeah, sorry about that. But it's starting to come together now, so we'll see what happens. I don't know, anybody have anything in particular want to see in a revamped version of the website?
Strippers. Yes, porn.
the Galaxy 15 porn section, because that's what everybody wants to see.
Right there. Oh, the amateur stuff's going to be terrible.
What, you don't want to see me doing an oscillating fan? That's a great story.
Now, the Madman centerfold was something I was really hoping to avoid. Oh, damn.
Dude. Oh, no. It wouldn't even be funny on a t-shirt.
Oh. Well, I don't know. You've had the live experience of Madman twerking at you, so, I mean... You better than anybody else.
That was terrifying. If I had actually known what he was doing at the time, because I'd never seen that before, because apparently that's a North American phenomenon, like prison rape. I would have known to get up and get the fuck out of there as fast as possible. I'm just so glad the whole Miley Cyrus bullshit hadn't happened at the time and he didn't have his tongue out and winking one eye at me or some shit.
I don't know. I mean... Generally, when you see a man's gyrating ass moving at you from across the room, that's a pretty good indication to run. But
yeah. I had him distracted. Big was also helping.
Yeah, it's like the first time you see a bear in the forest. Your natural instinct is, well, you're not really sure whether you should run or not. And that was the first time I'd actually seen a large grown man twerking towards my face. I was so mesmerized. I just stood my ground. Tried to make myself look big and pray it all went away.
Very nice. So, go ahead and move right into our topic here. Of course, everybody's seen the net neutrality got struck down in a court ruling earlier this week. Tuesday, was it? Yeah, it was Tuesday. So, I guess first and foremost, we ought to kind of agree what we're talking about when we talk about net neutrality, because there are a couple of different definitions, and it gets confusing really quick if you're talking two different things. So, I guess kind of everybody on the panel already has a pretty good idea of what we mean when we say that, right?
Mostly.
Yeah, but so. You want to still define it for the listeners.
Yeah, I always think of it as the ISPs are a dumb pipe. They don't have any real say in limiting this website or this type of content. They provide a connection, and you know, you're on your own. You're on your own recognizance. I do have the Wikipedia definition here. Net neutrality, also known as network neutrality or internet neutrality, is the principle that internet service providers and governments should treat all data on the internet equally, not discriminating or charging differentially based on user, content, site, platform, application, type of attached equipment, and modes of communication. I guess to kind of break it down in layman's terms, it's the idea that your ISP isn't going to block, break, or severely rate limit Netflix so that you'll be, you know, have to use their television service, because most people's ISPs are also their cable company. So, because if you think about it, you know, if you get your internet and your TV from the same person, it makes a lot of sense from a business standpoint for them to keep you from getting TV content over the internet, so you have to get it through their service and pay them for it, as opposed to paying somebody else for it, or even worse, dear God, getting it for free over the internet. And there hasn't, you know, even before network neutrality was passed as a rule from the FCC, there weren't really a lot of good examples of this happening yet. The technology kind of wasn't really there either. It is now. I tell you what, some of that quality of service stuff, if you get your packets tagged right, it can really make a world of difference. So, you know, it's from a technical standpoint, it's certainly doable. It's not the most simple thing in the world, but it is doable.
Right.
So, go ahead.
People's arguments on net neutrality is they're scared that Netflix or something is going to be attacked. I see it as kind of an infringement on political ideas, because now, let's say your service provider disagrees with whichever political organization, they can just prevent people from going to that site.
Well, it's
and that's been going on for a while by different countries.
Yes, it has. And that's a very good example of that. So network neutrality by default would imply no censorship either. So that's a good point, and one I hadn't really considered. But you know, Netflix is the easy example, just so you can kind of wrap your head around the concept we're talking about. But just for a lot more fun, let's say Spotify, just to pick a service out of thin air. I don't mean any insult to Spotify, so nobody get too bent out of shape. I'm just using them because they're a good example. Let's say Spotify made some big deal with several of the big ISPs to give them preferential service and rate limit any other streaming audio provider that doesn't go through their systems. Well, that would make our website useless. It would make a lot of people's websites useless, because it would suddenly be too slow to listen to the stream, because, you know, we're getting rate limited and Spotify's not. Now, is that Spotify attacking us directly? No, because they're hitting everybody who's, you know, like a small-time audio stream. But
that's
makes
Spotify cornering the market.
Right. It makes small competitors to any service. I think Madman just had an aneurysm. It makes any kind of small-time project on the internet that much harder to get off the ground if, you know, you're told to go sit in the corner, and anybody who tries to even use your service has to wait, and it's slow and disconnects and everything else that happens when you get a service that's rate limited or even flat out blocked. So this stuff is kind of important. Ideally, you'd have an open enough market that you wouldn't even need to worry about these rules, because NBA trying to pull that crap just wouldn't have any customers. But unfortunately, that's not exactly the case.
I don't know, Warps. You've got to remember that this has been free for how long?
What? How old's the internet?
You know
years?
What I mean?
Yeah.
All right, so there's some people with a lot of experience who, well, let's say they like moving freely around the web. To every part of the web, they're going to get very angry very quickly when their little projects no longer work because, say, Spotify has cornered the market.
Sure.
Those people, generally, well, don't really give a flying fuck when it comes digitally. especially what they do to other people's digital packages. You see where I'm going with this?
No, there's some truth there too. So,
yep.
But anyways, one of the stories on this I have actually had some quotes from the judge that I thought were telling. The United States Court of this one's from BGR.com. The United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia on Tuesday struck down the Federal Communication Commission's 2010 order that imposed network neutrality regulations on wireline broadband services, which means it was only people who use wires, not your cell phone. The original FCC order said that wireline ISP shall not block any lawful content, application services, or non-harmful devices subject to reasonable network management, while also mandating that ISP shall not unreasonably discriminate in transmitting lawful traffic over consumers' broadband internet access service. In its ruling against the FCC rules, the court said that such restrictions are not needed, in part because consumers have a choice of which ISP they use. Without broadband provider market power, consumers, of course, have options, writes Judge Lawrence Cyberman, one of the judges on the panel. In his opinion, in part agreeing and in part dissenting from the court's decision, they can go to another broadband provider if they want to reach particular edge providers or if their connections to particular edge providers have been degraded.
That's retarded.
Yeah. you know, most people have, what, an option of, like, two?
One. If that, yeah.
Yeah.
Let me see. The one cable provider that you can get a decent, you know, like 30 down, 5 up, or dial-up.
Well, dude, you can switch to dial-up.
There's also DSL in some areas.
It's not the same, is what I'm saying.
But you've still got a choice. Just because it's a shitty choice, you've still got a choice.
I guess.
They're only too high speed. DSL and cable, and DSL's the crappier of the two of the if you're going with those choices.
Yeah.
You still have a choice.
Yeah. You occasionally find an area where like a utility has set up a wireless like a point to point antenna type internet service too. You know, I've seen a few of those, but usually they're not all that great and they go in and out and their speed is kind of shitty. But you know, they have to go with this second rate technology. Because a lot of cities will have exclusivity agreements with a cable provider and a telco.
Right. So, all of them,
you know,
do.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at usually two when it comes to choice of, you know, who, you know, broadband internet. I guess three if you count satellite, but has anybody tried to actually use that stuff? It's not pretty.
Right. And plus, he's has this giant blanket statement over the entire United States where you know, how many people live in quote-unquote rural areas?
Where there's not any, yeah.
Yeah, where there's not any, or like we said, there's like one provider. That's not a true statement. You can't just say a blanket statement like that. Like, oh, you don't like it? Just switch.
Well, there's not a market to switch to. That's the problem. And the reason there's not a market is the government has prevented a market from developing. My city, it is illegal for me to start a cable company in my city. There's only allowed one. If you're lucky, there are some cities that have licensed duopolies, so there can be two. But Madman's Cable Company cannot legally start up in most cities.
Oh.
Nor should it be allowed, either.
Yeah. Hey, I would allow you to buy individual channels from my cable company. There's no group packing. You buy the channel you freaking want.
That would be sweet, but the internet access is weird, because no matter what domain I type in, it always goes to porn.
Oh, wait for it on that one. I've got a fantastic story down the road for that one. So, you know, you think about it, assuming it's not abused, and, you know, sure, we're also going to assume shit doesn't stink. I could see ISPs doing some smart blocking of problematic sites.
Yeah, but it's going to be whoever has the biggest dick.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Exactly. Whoever can throw the most money at it is going to win, just like you said. They would rate limit everything else.
Assuming it's not going to be abused is like assuming shit isn't going to stink. That's the sad part. So, you know, you can make these idolized arguments, just like we can talk about how we wouldn't need the rules if we had an idolized market. We don't have either. So, I hate to side with regulations, but I almost feel like we kind of need this a replacement for this rule put back in place like soon. before markets start to develop based around the idea that you have to buy access through the ISP?
There are two ways of fixing the problem. One is to implement the old rule again, which is more regulation, or remove the regulations that prevent more more providers from existing. The reason we only have two in this area is one was given to our utility company, which has a government monopoly over this area. The other was given to our cable provider, which has a government license monopoly over this area. If you make it where the government can't force monopolies, then we can have a market of providers, which one can say, we're not going to rate limit anything, this is how much we charge a month. Others can come up with whatever plans they want.
I think the problem here is what we've got is this: the FCC and this judge ruling are at the federal level. Most of these exclusivity contracts are at the state or, you know, city government level. So you're getting a weird interaction of multiple levels of government that's just having a bad outcome. So, I mean, I don't know. I know what I would like to see the answer to. I'd love to see deregulation of ISP so you could, you know, get some prices coming down in there too. Speed boost, all that kind of development you get when you have real competition. But you know, we don't have that right now, and I don't know how you get from where we are to where we should be without, well, somebody willing to spend a lot of money with no benefit for themselves.
Right.
So, but honestly, the best solution going forward is going to be to prevent your ISP from being able to tell what the hell your traffic is and where it's going. It's not practical. Most people don't want to live in the dark net. So what we're going to have is we're going to have the real internet for anybody who can figure out how to get on it and work a dark net. And we'll have this consumer internet for everybody else, where the cable companies can have their little wet dream of, you know, metering your bandwidth and selling you internet site packages. And it's not going to be ideal. It's not going to be what anybody wants, but I bet that's what is going to happen. So, you know, enjoy.
But wouldn't the darknet still be throttled if they were giving preferential treatment to certain websites?
It would. That's why you have to make sure they can't tell where it's coming from and what it's going to. That way, at best, it's not so much throttled as it is just not preferred. Like, if you have a site that they do not want traffic going to. Pirate Bay BitTorrent is, you know, probably the prime example where you're going to have ISPs who, like, suddenly can just shut it down. Like, yeah, we're just going to block torrents, period. If we see it's a BitTorrent traffic, disconnected.
Oh, I can't play WoW if I ever wanted to again.
Well, I'm sure Blizzard could come up with some sort of an agreement and pay them a fee to get their torrent traffic, too. But, yeah, so we'll just pick BitTorrent as a nice, easy example. That's when they would actively limit down, you know, rate limit how much bandwidth could be used by torrents across pipes. Most things, they're not going to actively degrade it. They're just going to give preferential treatment to other things. So to go back to our Spotify example, what would probably actually happen is, opposed to blocking everything but Spotify, is Spotify's packets would get flagged because you'd have a piece of equipment on the edge of your network there picking up that, okay, it's coming from this IP block, so drop the drop your quality of service tag in the packet header there so your routers pass it faster. So they would move through, their traffic would move through the buffer faster, which means other traffic might get bumped back, but it wouldn't be blocked. You know what I'm saying?
Would it put that tag on all traffic?
It'd put that flag on anything that fits a rule set.
We need to get a collection of tit photos so we can have 4chan just put that tag on everything.
I don't think you're quite understanding what I'm.
You would be hacking whichever provider was limiting it. I know.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay, yeah, just bounce your traffic through somebody who gets preferential treatment.
Yeah.
But, yeah, well, that's the kind of shit that's going to happen, is if this kind of stuff goes on, is you'll have these dark nets made up of these backdoor packet bounces or whatever they got to do to get through, and then you'll have the consumer internet for everybody else.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, sure, you'll feel like a badass running around the darknet, but
it's gonna be a lot quieter. There's things on the darknet I don't want to see.
Well, there's that.
Yeah. but it would be the free, the free internet, I guess.
It'll become not much more dangerous again.
I I'm afraid that's where it's going to head, is where you're just going to have to hide everything you're doing and, you know, hope that it's not getting actively blocked, because they can do that now, legally.
Or recorded.
Well, script everything.
You could just crowdfund Madman's idea of having his own provider.
Yeah, but we would also need to get the laws changed so that it would be legal for me to have my own provider.
Well, we just have to classify it so it's not a cable company or a telephone company or something else. You just have to...
Yeah, it's a happy, fun pipe delivery service. That's how we'd call it. With kittens.
It's actual tubes. We're running pneumatic tubes to everyone's house.
In those tubes, we just have, I don't know, fiber optic cable. That's the way the technology actually works.
Pack it via a pneumatic tube. A steampunk ISP.
Like, we're just sending little thumb drives to your house with the internet on them.
Yeah. Type in what you want, send the thumb drive down the thing, it'll come back. Yeah, oh god, I didn't really want to look at that. Send it back down the pipe.
feel sorry for whoever has to load up your thumb drive before they send it down the line. Oh god, he's looking at 4chan. Here you go.
Yeah. Here's something nailed to a wall.
Sorry, I can't process that request. Too sick. I don't want to search for it.
you don't get your thumb drive back. You just get a handwritten note. Fuck you. Yeah.
Like, no, and I've called the cops.
All right, let's move on to current events here. First one up is from Business Week. In the world of cybersecurity, Bruce Schneier is an unusually accessible voice for those of us who feel we don't quite understand what's going on. The author of 12 books and prolific blogger and speaker, Schneier helped The Guardian go through the top secret documents from the U.S. National Security Agency leaked by Snowden last year. So he knows what he's talking about when discussing the importance of Snowden's revelations, which he did Wednesday, blah, 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 blah. Schneier quickly turns serious. We're faced with government agency on a quintoxic mission to collect everything from chats and online games, gaming worlds like Second Life to data passed from air to ground when you use a laptop on a plane, he said. And while the NSA may have turned the internet into a giant surveillance platform, this is just what every nation state is doing. We actually don't know what's broken, he said. I get asked all the time, can I trust this? Can I trust that? The truth is we don't know, and we have to move forward. So there is some good news in the Snowden document, Schneier said, and that's because encryption still works. The NSA has been able to get around it because of other parts of the equation, like software or hardware, are still insecure. Still, most current cryptography gives the NSA some trouble. And a lot of the data that the NSA snags isn't encrypted. That means we're making it too easy for the NSA to pursue its collect-everything mania. Schneier's solution, encrypt everything we can from the cloud to cell phones. Schneier's not advocating stopping the NSA from targeting spying. There'd be no debate right now if Snowden's documents would show the NSA spying on North Korea and the Taliban. He just wants to make it cheaper for the NSA to target the bad guys than for them to target everybody and get the bad guys incidentally. Above all, we have to share... Okay, so that's right. That's why I was reading this earlier. That paragraph right there was the key. He wants to... By suggesting we encrypt everything, he wants to make it so that it makes more sense to actually target people again rather than trying to get everything.
Yeah, that makes sense, so, I guess.
Yeah, you know, he's advocating the encrypt everything mantra.
Yeah, which is...
Why don't they just fuck off and stop looking at my shit?
Because apparently that's too much to ask.
Yeah. Like, you're going to be responsible.
So both parties have to do more work now? I've got to encrypt more? Just so they've got to work harder to get it?
That's the idea. If you make them work real hard for yours, and truthfully they shouldn't care about your stuff, then, you know, that way they'll actually go back to targeting the terrorists as opposed to just collecting everything.
No, they won't.
It's an economic argument. If it's really expensive to get everything, they'll go back to only the things they need.
Okay. I see that as a viable alternative to what should happen. I mean, I'm fine with them spying on Aryu. It's legal for them to spy on Aryu. It's illegal for them to spy on me. They need probable cause to spy on me.
But you're on the internet. That's probable cause. And you're talking to Aryu. That's an international conversation. Therefore, that's a probable cause.
No, me living is not probable cause to search me. Now, if they have
I
evidence
agree, don't misunderstand.
Me breathing and looking at child porn, that's probable cause.
That's definitely or probable cause.
Me breathing and blowing something up.
But you see, that's hard to target you after you've blown something up. It's much easier just to target everybody, and then that way they can go back and have the records they need after the fact.
But it's not good to have the record after the fact, after he has blown it up.
No, but it's easier to prosecute if they can go pull the records and say, oh, here's the Google search where he was looking up how to make a pressure cooker bomb.
Yeah.
I trust Madman not to be dumb enough to search Google.
Well, I wasn't going to search Google from my house or a computer directly linked to me.
There you go.
I was going to search it from, I don't know, a Starbucks. Probably using one of my computers, but it didn't have a virtual machine on it. Like, search it from a VM.
I can already hear that one now. So, hey, Morbs, how do you set up one of those live flash drives you were talking about?
Oh, no! Linux Puppy. It's a live flash drive. And I can change settings in my browser to make it look like my video card's something else.
You've been listening to too much of this show.
I already know how to do it! I just don't, because I don't do anything that I care about.
All right. Next one up is from bbc.co.uk. Saed Hussein, 22, from Luton, was convicted of failing to provide police with the password to the stick seized in a counterterrorism operation, like a USB flash drive, thumb drive. So,
yeah.
He was already in jail for being part of a cell that considered attacking a territorial army base in the town. He said that he had forgotten the password until a fraud probe was launched. So he's already in charges for terrorism, and they're also going to charge him with fraud for not providing the password they need to. The judge jailed him for 4 more months, sending Hussein back to prison. Old Bailey judge Richard Marks said the defendant's deliberate failure and refusal to comply with police notice to provide the password was a very serious matter because it had potentially hampered investigations. Hussein and 3 other men were jailed in 2012 after admitting discussing attacking the town's TA headquarters by placing a homemade bomb on a remote-controlled toy car. Okay, that's kind of cool, actually.
No, that's not cool because we've had the same fucking conversations, just hypothetically.
Right.
They didn't actually do anything. They just had a conversation about it.
I'm just liking the very movie idea of putting, a little bomb in a remote-controlled car and driving it around.
They're going to ban cars if you keep talking about this, Morps, and I like my remote-controlled cars.
Okay.
They're my favorite toys growing up.
When Hussein was arrested in April 2012, police seized a USB memory stick from his home, but they discovered the information on the device was protected by sophisticated encryption technology. So, TrueCrypt. Hussein told detectives that he could not remember the password because he was suffering from stress, which meant they could not access its contents. Police called in experts from GCHQ, the government's secret eavesdropping and communication agency. Shouldn't it be the other way around? Shouldn't it be the government's communication and secret eavesdropping agency? It's like, priorities, people. You probably shouldn't telegraph them like that. But even they were unable to crack the device. Police and prosecutors gave Hussein a deadline of last January to reveal the password, but his lawyers maintained that he had forgotten it. 11 months later, police told Hussein lawyers that they had launched a fresh investigation into alleged credit fraud by Hussein, and within days, he revealed the memory stick's password was $UR4HT4UB4H8, a play on words relating to a chapter of the Quran. Police accessed the memory stick and found it contained information relating to the ongoing inquiry into alleged fraud, but nothing related to terrorism or national security. So, in Britain, this guy was arrested for terrorism, and I'm sure he deserved what he got. Because they, I mean, I don't know. He was just talking about it, but I mean, okay, he's a terrorist. So I'm not quite sure I agree with holding the guy in prison until he gives up his passwords to make it so they can investigate him. I mean, that's... It's like, we need the evidence to investigate you. I mean, I'm also looking at it from a United States perspective of where we do have the right to not incriminate ourselves. It's in Britain, do they not have that right?
I mean,
if the government tells you to incriminate yourself, you have to do it. I mean,
yep.
Yeah. Innocent until proven guilty is not global.
Well, I know that, but
we don't have the right to a speedy trial either.
Yeah.
Either to people in Britain, I don't think.
So, you know, first up, I'm sure this guy was a scumbag, but I mean, man, the way they went after him, that's kind of...
Dude, I'm not even, at this point, from what you've just read out, I'm not prepared to call him a scumbag.
You haven't seen the picture.
Okay, send the picture then. As far as...
It's open up the link here. It's not a flattering picture of the guy, I'll tell you that.
But even then, like... Or you said at the very beginning, he was talking about it.
He was convicted of talking about it.
Dude, who cares? Like, so what? He looks like a terrorist. I bet you. Neck beards at Gen Con look like that guy.
No, it's not the beard. It's the freaking unibrow, man.
Yeah.
I've got an awesome unibrow, dude.
It's not like though.
I'm trying to get it like that, though. The Muppet Brow will be in season 2030. You watch, man. I want a fucking Muppet Brow that awesome. For the simple fact that it's just cool. Yeah,
it does look like a freaking Muppet unibrow, doesn't it?
It does. It's great. I fully support the Muppet unibrow. But, dude, half the dudes at fucking Gen Con look like this guy. Probably smelt twice as bad, too. Yeah, he's probably...
Well, did I misread it? I mean, I thought they had actually built something. After admitted discussing attacking the town's TA headquarters by placing a homemade bomb on a... Okay, so I guess he didn't actually make anything. They were just...
It doesn't say that they seized anything from his residency. Nothing.
Yeah, you're right. He was just talking about it.
Yeah, so like, just because this guy's Muslim doesn't mean... And yes, he might hate Britain or whatever, but the fact still stands that he... Didn't have any equipment to blow shit up.
Yeah.
No, they couldn't find any evidence.
They said they got him for. They actually did get him on credit fraud.
Okay, credit fraud. Why are we talking about being terrorists, blowing shit up? That's after the fact. Like, that's not even a.
You're right. Well, I misunderstood it. You're right, because I was thinking he had actually built something.
Oh, this is just credit fraud, man. That's all he's done. Like, they've just gone, and we'll charge him with being a snack bar as well. Because we can. No one's going to fight for his rights. Oh, he looks like a snack bar. He must be a snack bar. Well, talking about doing snack bar shit. Put him in jail for being a snack bar.
That point aside, I don't really like this idea of just holding them until he gives up the password so they can, you know, prosecute him with whatever they find on the stick. That's not cool.
Yeah, like... I just think...
If you're going to arrest somebody for committing a crime, get them on something real. Don't just harangue them until they admit to it. I mean, that's Salem witch trial level shit.
Like, all it was, they added the terrorism thing in there so they could just nail the guy harder, because he probably wouldn't even have done any time for the fraud.
The whole thing I wanted to get at was... I mean, if you start suspecting anybody and, they've got an encrypted drive, you better give us that password. I don't want to give you the password. Well, fine, we're going to jail you till you do. I mean, that's Salem witch trial. That's guilt until you're proven innocent by death. I mean, practically.
But
maybe not quite by death, but I mean, still.
That's the level of that story. Man held in jail because he wouldn't hand over things. People would go mental about that in the papers. Oh, no, he's a snack bar. It's okay to hold him without trial.
Right.
You know, over a USB stick. He shouldn't have been jailed, like you said. But the only reason they wrote it up and people are like, oh, yeah, that's okay, he looks like a snack bar.
Well, he does.
He really but does.
You fucking Americans.
We're not saying they're right in what they did. He just looks like a terrorist.
They
should have just charged him with fraud and gone for the max on what they had him on.
Yeah, I just...
Because fraud in the States, most people don't get heavy because they don't get the max, but you can get in jail forever on fraud, depending on how many people you've fucked over.
Well, I will freely admit I don't know the details of the legal system in Britain. So
no, either do
maybe
I.
Maybe it's a little bit different over there. But
Madman, it's only up to a point. Like, fraud, you'll only go to jail if you didn't steal billions. Okay, you steal millions? Fraud. Steal billions? Well, we're just going to put you back
in detention. The government gives you more.
Yeah.
Like I said, if they're going for the maximum, like Bernie Madoff, he didn't even get the maximum. Each individual person defrauded in that pyramid scheme could have given him the maximum on fraud.
Yep.
They just pleaded him out. If you think the dude's a terrorist and you just want to fuck with him, go with him with what you have and screw his world over. Al Capone, they didn't get him on murder. They found something they could prove, and they raped his ass with our tax code.
Well, that's easy enough. Have you seen how big that thing is?
Yeah. Everyone in the States, one of the most protected countries in the world, can be sent to prison for life with the codes and regulations we have. It's just no one's been abused that way, so no one's fixed the problem. One of my favorite examples, I've clicked play on several YouTube videos. Those are all punishable by 10 years in jail. How many YouTube videos have you hit play on? How many Live Leak videos have you hit play on?
None, because I'm not a criminal like you.
Good answer. Digital Millennium Copyright Act, 10 years per the time you hit play. And that's if they're just going with the copies you can see. I don't know how many my computer made on RAM and whatever else before it hit the video card.
4.
Thank you. So, 40 years per time you hit play.
You have the copy that ends up... Now, they're not complete copies. The only complete copy ends up on your hard disk, assuming you stream the whole thing.
Try explaining that to someone in a peer of your... a jury
of
your
peers. Does that matter? I mean, are we talking complete copies or partials?
So far precedent, partials can count.
Okay, you're fucked, because...
So, yeah, 40 years for hitting play on a YouTube video. You can get fucked over legally.
Every network device between you and the source of the video at YouTube's data center ends up with a piece of it in their network card buffers.
That's why lawyers in the States... Like I said, we're a fairly protected country. I speak out against the government all the time. But a lawyer in the States will tell you don't cooperate with the police, not because you're guilty, and not because they don't want to help the police. It's that everyone is a criminal. We have been that overregulated. So in England, I'm fairly certain they're the same way. You can fuck him with what you already have, and that's what they should have done. They would have been possibly morally correct.
All right, well, let's go on to more government shenanigans from that side of the world. Fine Gael TD for Limerick. O'Donovan is, by background, a industrial chemist and the youngest Fine Gael group leader in the group's history. But that hasn't stopped him from apparently claiming that open-source technologies are the root of all that is evil in the digital world. Where's the guy's actual name? Maybe it's later in the story. His last name's O'Donovan. Somewhere it says what his first name is. An online black market is operating which protects the user's anonymity and operates across borders through the use of open-source internet browsers and payment systems which allow users to remain anonymous, claimed O'Donovan in a statement published to the Fine Gael website. This effectively operates as an online supermarket for illegal goods, such as drugs, weapons, and pornography, where it is extremely difficult to trace the identity of buyers. We need a national and international response to clamp down on this illicit trade. O'Donovan fears to confuse the issue of the Tor project, an open-source effort to create anonymous proxy network for volunteer machines with open-source web browsers like Firefox and Chromium, the former of which has been put forward as a champion against the NSA intrusion thanks to its easily accessible source code and ongoing code validation program. So, where the hell is this guy's full name? I thought it was in the story.
Okay, if he's smart, he won't print it.
Yeah, this did I cut it out? Am I missing a paragraph here? Because, basically, Irish politician Patrick O'Donovan, that's his name. He basically is saying that open source browsers can get to porn, gambling, and other anonymous sources, so they should be banned.
Okay, let's ban our cars then, because you can drive to a whorehouse, you can drive to a porn shop, so obviously they're bad. And cars bring drugs into the country, so...
Just to clarify, this story is just in here for fun. Guys go nuts. This guy's a dumbass. He deserves every bit of what he gets.
But can't other browsers be used for that, too? I mean, Internet Explorer might give you a virus, but I can still look at porn.
Have you verified this fact?
Oh, hold up. Nope. Let me switch from Mozilla.
Yep, let's get out of that open source browser, that evil open source browser. Nope, yeah. A nice, safe, closed sourced one.
Okay. If you know, like they said, download the source code, you could completely look at it and see exactly what it's doing.
Let's hit up RedTube. Our non-official, oh, cool. It wants me to download Chrome. What the hell? Windows has already got a virus. And I just now opened it up. Would you like to download Chrome? No, I want to look at RedTube. Fuck you.
5 minutes after the show ends, Batman's gonna be like, "Hey guys, I just got this weird pop-up on my computer. Hey guys, my computer's saying I need to give it money or else it won't give me my files back. What is that? That's weird."
They're right. If you use Internet Explorer, you can't look at porn. It's not because it's not designed to allow it. It's just that it's that fucked up of a search engine or a browser. Oh no, it came up. It just came up eventually.
After loading viruses up.
Yeah, so you can't watch that video in that player. Here, go download this extra format for it.
Yeah.
Oh, I've just got a notice from the FBI. They noticed I'm looking at porn. If I pay them $20, they'll not charge me.
And so it begins.
We're going to be helping Madman clean up his machine for like the next year, aren't we?
Yeah, like I said, 5 minutes after the show, hey guys, my computer's ringing a little funny. That's weird.
All right. So yeah, this Irish politician, I mean, his statement is just retarded.
Actually, I'm going to make an open blanket retarded statement because he did. He's a drunk and he's a homosexual. How's that? There you go.
Well, he's Irish. That makes him a drunk. What evidence do you have of him being a homosexual? Did he look at a dude?
Well, we could open up the picture and look at the guy. It did have a picture of him. You could then judge on that.
Oh, yeah. He looks like a faggot. I bet he takes it up the tailpipe.
Wow. I think I need to start reading the IHN disclaimer before this show, too.
Well, dude, if he's going to make just stupid blanket statements about stuff he knows nothing about, we're going to do the same.
The sad part is, he's one of the assholes making the rules. He's writing law.
He should have at least read up on what he's wanting to write a law about. The internet exists. It's a great wealth of knowledge. Horrible, horrible pictures on 4chan, but also a great wealth of knowledge.
Great wealth of knowledge and horrible imagery. I like it.
Best library in the world, man.
Yes, it is. Wow. It's also the worst library in the world. Any enlightened person should avoid it.
You can go to an actual library, and it's sort of like the internet, man. Like, there is some shit in there you don't want to see. I'm serious.
Yeah, it's usually in the medical textbooks describing diseases.
No, I'm just talking about the people that go into a public library. Abuse. Because, well, who goes and gets books out anymore, apart from those who can't afford to buy books or be on the internet or be able to go on the internet inside the library? I've seen dudes openly masturbating in public, looking at porn in a public library.
Wow, I'm really glad I don't go to the same library you do.
Australia's kind of fucked up.
Okay, enough of Irish bashing there.
I never bashed Irish people, just that one idiot.
Just that one Irish guy, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just another prime example of people in power not understanding what the hell the internet is, how it works, or how to use it.
Or at least talking to somebody who does before they make dumb statements.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like, hey guys, guess what? I learned a new word about the internet. Open source. Must be bad.
All right. Next one up is from thenextweb.com. Microsoft today announced that it will continue to provide updates to its security products, anti-malware engines and signatures. That's Windows Security Essentials, the free Microsoft antivirus. Excuse me. For Windows XP users through July 14th, 2015. Previously, the company said it would halt all updates on the same day as it ended support for Windows XP April the 8th, 2014. For consumers, this means Microsoft Security Essentials will continue to get updates after support ends for XP. For enterprise customers, the same goes for System Center Endpoint Protection, Forefront Security, Client Security, Forefront Endpoint Protection, and Windows Intune running on XP. I don't need to read the rest of the article. It's just kind of explaining all those different programs and what they kind of do. So far, Microsoft is still saying that XP support ends, in April. I'm just kind of waiting to see if they're going to extend that again, too. In fact, when I first saw the story, I was laughing out loud because I thought they had already done it.
Yeah.
Didn't they say Microsoft Security Essentials was going to be crap from now on out and not to use it?
It rated really low in several antivirus tests. They apparently, it's not detecting a lot of the new stuff nearly as well as some of the other antivirus engines. But let me just go ahead and clarify that for you, Madman. All antiviruses suck. They are terrible.
I can second that.
There are antivirus vendors out there who will sell you the moon and the lasso to go with it. And they will catch all of last year's malware without a problem. You get something that's more than a few weeks old, though, if you get something that's only a couple of weeks old, though, you're fucked.
But Super Shield will protect me, right?
Yeah, sure.
It's all signature base. They have a signature.
And the ones that do heuristics have so many false positives, the heuristics part usually gets turned off or ignored. So,
explaining that to people, man, that they're not 100% safe when they've got antivirus. But I paid $129 for this, man. What do you mean I can still get a virus?
I mean, try getting your $129 back from McAfee. I guess it's Intel now. Try getting your money back from Intel the next time you get a virus and you're running an antivirus.
Yeah, good luck.
Go on, try it. I've done the phone call, by the way. We've got tons of machines running Symantec Endpoint Protection, and they're getting pwned left and right with all this stupid click bar bullshit, FBI warnings, your software's not working. Oh, yeah, sorry about that. They don't care.
Man,
you try to get your money back from them, they laugh at you.
You can't tell a consumer that, man. They just blows their fucking mind. They think it's insurance, like, for their house.
Yeah, seriously, I'm dead serious. Next time, anybody listening to the show, dead fucking serious. Next time you get a virus, you call up your antivirus vendor and you demand a refund. See what they say.
Yeah.
Make sure you record the conversation because we're going to laugh at you after it.
So, yeah, all antivirus is terrible. But Microsoft is saying at least they're going to keep doing it. I skipped the rest of the article because they explain some of the Microsoft stuff, then they get condescending and say anybody running XP should move on by now. I don't know. I've still got several machines kicking with XP on them.
XP's not a bad operating system as far as Windows goes.
I've got 1,200 of them still running Windows XP.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of businesses out there that are still living on it. So, I mean, it's just this whole concept of, oh, they're done supporting it. Everybody move off of it to the next one. It doesn't work that way.
Exactly. And like you said, there's still a chance that they could extend support for it. I'm not entirely sure if it's going to happen. It'd be nice, but
I imagine that they will. They've made such a hype about it, but I mean, they're going to get some nasty phone calls from people. I'm sure.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I'm waiting. I could be wrong, and I wouldn't be entirely surprised if I was, but I wouldn't be surprised if they extended it again, just because there's still something like 35% of the market is still living on XP, something like that.
It was a good system. Good operating system.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why a lot of the newer systems are, I think they're making intentional mistakes. Anybody else played with Windows 8 at all? I've had to support some family that got it recently, and I think they're trying to make sure that you'll upgrade as soon as possible, hoping that the next one is better.
I didn't like the interface of Windows 8, so I went straight back to Windows 7.
Yeah. I may end up having to run it on a machine somewhere just because I've got several people asking me about it, so.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. All right, next one up is from computerworld.com. The Starbucks mobile app, the most used mobile payment app in the United States, has been storing usernames, email addresses, and passwords in clear text on the phone. Starbucks executives confirmed late on Tuesday, January the 14th. The credentials are stored in such a way that anyone with access to the phone can see the passwords and usernames by connecting the phone to a PC. No jailbreaking of the phone is necessary. And that clear text also displays an extensive list of geolocation tracking points, latitude and longitude, a treasure trove of security and privacy gems for anyone who steals the phone. The issue appears to be an example of convenience trumping security. One of the reasons for the Starbucks mobile app's popularity is its extreme ease of use. Customers need only enter their password once when activating the payment portion of the app, and then use the app to make unlimited purchases without having to key in the password or username again. Only when adding money to the app is the password required.
Starbucks, that's the one part I wouldn't want a password for. Anyone should be able to add money to my app.
Starbucks could have chosen not to store the password on the phone, but then users would be forced to key in their username and password every time they wanted to use the app to make a purchase, because obviously nobody has read the freaking, Objective-C API for the iPhone and realized that they do, in fact, provide crypt functions, so you could, you know, at least put it in the keychain. Freaking iOS and not store it in clear text, but hey, whatever. A company like Starbucks has to make the choice between usability to drive adoption and the potential for misuse and fraud, said Charles Wiggs, General Manager and Senior Vice President for U.S. Markets at mobile vendor Mozito. Starbucks has opted to make it very convenient. They just have to make sure that their comfort doesn't overexpose their customers and their brand. Yes, it does surprise me, said Gartner security analyst Evan Litton. I would have expected more out of Starbucks. They should have at least informed consumers. Apparently Starbucks could have done that. Two executives, Starbucks CIO Kurt Garner and Starbucks Chief Digital Officer Adam Brotman, said in a telephone interview that they have known for an unspecified period of time that the credentials were being stored in clear text. We were aware, Brotman said. That was not something that was news to us. The easy visibility of passwords was first discovered by security researcher Daniel Wood, who said he tried contacting Starbucks in mid-November. After repeatedly being transferred to customer service in the course of almost 2 months, he published some of his research for Security Community on Monday, January the 13th. Starbucks is downplaying the potential for customers to be victimized and claims that it has made vague and unspecified changes to alleviate the problem. Brotman said that the issue should no longer be a concern because we have security measures in place now related to that, and we have adequate security measures in place now. So, yeah, we fixed it. Yep, it's fixed. Stop asking questions. He declined to say what those security measures were, but said that customers' usernames and some passwords are safe because Starbucks has added extra layers of security. Brotman didn't specifically say that the passwords are no longer appearing in clear text. About 2 hours after Brotman and Gardner discussed the security hole, Woods reran his tests on an updated Starbucks app using the current iOS version, and the passwords and usernames were still fully visible in clear text. This time, he also noted that a geolocation history file detailing his latitude and longitude numbers for every time he asked the app to find a store. So not only did they not fix the clear text problem, they made it worse.
Why do they need to know where I am when I'm buying coffee?
I know.
So they can tell you where the nearest Starbucks is.
They don't have to store it, though, is the point.
They don't have to store the password in clear text. iOS provides a freaking API, so you can do that shit.
I'm sure there's got to be a way to hash it or do the same thing on Android also. It's
called a fucking keychain. Most mobile apps are providing them.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's
yeah, no, that's convenience over security. No, you can do this securely. This is not hard. This is a problem that has been solved.
It's stupidity over common sense.
Well, the beauty of it is, if you steal somebody's iPhone, you get their Starbucks password. You want to take a wild-ass guess what their banking password probably is? I bet it's not that different from that Starbucks password. Probably the same for their email, their work password. Hell, how many people use the same password for everything?
Yeah, like, humor me, because I don't have a phone. Why would you need a Starbucks password?
You know, that I'm not really sure about. You can pay with your mobile phone. I guess it's like charging a gift card, but your phone is the gift card. Okay. I'm not quite sure why.
I'm pretty sure it's something like that. Like, and I think there's perks and stuff. Like, if you use their app or whatever.
I mean, I can't imagine why you wouldn't just give them the $3. I mean,
right. Buy 5 cups of coffee, get a 6-1 free if you use their app type thing, blah, 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 whatever. What?
They talked about charging the app with cash, so it'd be like you give Starbucks $100 now to put it on your phone.
Oh, the bank of Starbucks.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, it's got to be like a gift card kind of thing.
Yeah, okay.
It's like a gift card kind of thing with special offers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're insured your $100 worth of Starbucks cash, and they give you an extra few cups of coffee or a free Danish or something crap like that.
Exactly. But like you said, man, it's security over convenience. So until that stigma or that perception in society changes, things like this are going to keep happening. They're going to get fixed. And so someone says, hey, guys, look at me. Hey, look, this is bad. And they're doing it. And then everyone's like, oh, my God, I can't believe that they would do that. Really? Why don't you fix this? And they'll finally go, okay. Now that people have seen it, I guess we'll throw some money at it, we'll fix it, and then this problem will go away until we do it the next time.
Well, that's just it. The problem's not going to go away, and how many people are going to have, say, their credit fucked up? Well, I don't know how much damage... How much damage can you do with the Starbucks app? I mean, I don't know.
Well, yeah, like I said, are you talking about the credit of the person or the credit of, like, the company? The company doesn't give a shit because
I don't care about the company. They can deal with their own damn image. That's what marketing firms are for.
If I ran a high-level firm or something that was secure, and I wouldn't have my employees going to Starbucks, or you surrender your phone the minute you walk in the building at the man trap. Like, Starbucks are endangering other people's fucking businesses here.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah, like, from a security standpoint, you really want your employees having their phones vulnerable to, say, a malicious attack, especially if it's concentrated and pointed at your business? So, you know, say you're pen testing Morph's business, you find the girl that goes to Starbucks every week, find out what her password is, odds on it's going to be the same password for everything.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yep.
So.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. That's another part of the social thing that needs to change, is using different passwords for different websites and whatnot.
Good luck educating the sheep.
Yeah, they should at least use 3 or 4 different passwords.
Yeah, my point is that until something like that changes or people start holding companies accountable for shit like this, it's not going to change. They're going to throw money at it, make it go away until it happens again.
One downside, a lot of companies are disincentivized from making improvements. Credit card companies don't want their credit cards less convenient to use because they make money from your using of the credit card. These apps, they're not going to become more secure because if they're less convenient to use, then Starbucks isn't going to get that guaranteed $100 just for the cost of an extra cup of coffee or two. And so far, consumers don't seem to care that they're getting screwed. I mean, the Target thing may change that, but thus far, it hasn't.
No, most people don't care, don't know about what's going on. The Target's up to, what'd they say, 120 million at this point?
170, yeah. I heard.
But it'll get up to 170, yeah. Damn.
170 million?
Yeah.
That's,
oh, they're wow.
People,
entire
it could still be
system.
Higher than that, because it still accounts that they're counting.
How are they still a business? Why isn't there a massive class action against them to take all their monies?
There probably will, but I don't think it'll take all their monies as a thing. It's like we're talking about, no one will give a fuck.
Yeah, suppose.
I mean, they've already gotten more press than I thought they were going to get.
But it's not negative press. The worst part.
It is, well, I mean, but it isn't as negative as it should be, I think.
Their whole system was compromised. I thought about doing one of the stories for Decking, but I passed up on it because they actually figured out they discovered the malware that was in their system. It was one of the point of sale malwares, like we speculated back when we were first talking about the Target breach. And they even found the freaking password that they were using to log into the malware's back door, and it was admin user. And then the password was backup user with a dollar sign in it.
That is fucking awesome.
So it looked like a backup admin was logging in and just slurping down credit card numbers.
So, that is beautiful in the thought process that they did. Like, yeah. Not to attract attention.
So I just, oh man. Anyways, last story here. From the BBC.co.uk, and if anybody, you know, are you, this is a story that'll give you hope.
Okay.
Filters put in place by parents to stop children viewing inappropriate content are easily bypassed by the youngsters themselves, according to a report from the regulator Ofcom. It found that 18% of 12 to 15-year-olds know how to disable internet filters. Almost half of children aged 12 to 15 know how to delete their browsing history, and 29% can amend settings to mask their browser activity. Some 83% of 8 to 11-year-olds said they knew how to stay safe online. In response to the report, Culture's Secretary Mariah Miller said that filters were not a silver bullet. Parents can have a central role to play in protecting their children, including by talking to them about how to stay safe online. According to the report, many parents feel their computing skills are far inferior to their children's.
Bingo. That's why.
There you go.
Oh, almost... I installed this thing that's supposed to keep old Jimmy safe. I must be safe now. Walk away. Walk
Get
away.
This. Almost half, 44%, of parents with children aged between 8 and 11 say their child knows more about the internet than they do. That rises to 63% of parents of 12 to 15-year-olds. The government has put pressure on UK's ISPs to introduce network-level filters that screen out pornography and other content deemed inappropriate, but the filters have proved controversial. Sky Systems hit the headlines when it emerged it was blocking a legitimate news website that covered file-sharing issues. Sky accidentally blocked Torrent Freak.
Yep.
And I pull stories from them all the time.
Yep.
Meanwhile, a BBC investigation found that filters that were blocking out sex education websites. So, I don't even need to finish the story. Yeah, it's just like that of the 20% that they were able to, you know, get an answer out of that said, yeah, we know how to get around the filters. That's the 20% that owned up to it.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably closer to 50.
Probably. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. That's just what I was saying before. I mean, it's people that they're exactly right. Their kids know more about a computer than they do, and they're hope, you know, they read the box on the back of the box. Oh, okay. This will keep little Jimmy from going to porn sites. Okay. Install. Next. Done. Little Jimmy's safe. Walk away. Never look at it again. Now, I'd like to see little Jimmy come on to my network or another sysadmin's network and see if he can do the same fucking thing, because I bet you he can't. Either that, or there will be logs of what he's doing, and all they have to be done is reviewed, and you will know what little Jimmy has been doing.
So, you run filters on your network there, Sard?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Would proxy is a nice thing.
Okay. Okay.
It is so bad with this fucker and his log reading. He's like, so you had a decent conversation with so-and-so on my Minecraft server, I see.
Okay, you're not supposed to give away that you're reading all the logs, because then... Okay, never mind. I'm just going to stop. Well, that is how you keep a server safe. You monitor what the hell goes on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, keeping your kids you should be monitoring what they're doing and be a part of their lives, not let software try to police them.
Exactly. There's no computer babysitter.
I just love the 20% of kids like, yeah, we know how to turn that off. And those are the ones who admit it.
Yeah.
You know, how many of them are like, no, I don't know anything about that, because they'll put a better one on there if I say anything otherwise.
I like it now. It's not the big, muscly kid that everyone loves. It's little Timmy, you know, this scrawny little weedy fuck that doesn't like people. Hey, man, can you come around and help me disable my parents' child-blocking software for me? Like, he'd just be friends with everybody.
Write up a document on how to do that. I bet you could go onto a schoolyard and sell those for $5-$10 a copy.
They're already circulating around out there on Facebook and shit like that, how to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Madman, you remember putting Quake 2 in all the school computers back in high school?
I don't remember putting it on there, but I remember playing it on several of them.
I was like, who do you think put it on there?
I'm going to go with Mr. Zeller, because his was the computer I was playing it on. I know who actually did it. We've told this story a few dozen times.
Okay.
But I'm still going to give him credit. Kudos, Mr. Zeller, for letting me play Quake 2 on your computer.
Oh, it was so funny. They couldn't... We had worked out how to get the password out of the software they were using, so it didn't matter. They'd change it. We'd get it again. Wasn't a problem.
Awesome.
Oh, okay. I think it's time for this.
I can't tell, is that still racist?
I don't know anymore. It kind of is, isn't it? So, as I talked about last week, I have a Chromebook now, and I spent a good chunk today figuring out how the hell to put Kali Linux on it, so I'd have something a little bit more useful than Chrome OS. And Kali Linux, which, in case anybody hasn't caught on yet, that's the rebrand of Backtrack. They have a build for ARM Chromebooks, and the instructions look fairly simple. You download the image, burn it to your SD card, or USB stick is what I was trying to do at first. You have, their instructions tell you to go in and adjust the GPT table to point to the correct kernel for booting. You put the Chromebook into developer mode, you reboot and press Control-U at the scary screen, and it should just come right up. And by the way, anybody wondering, I'm not... The developer warning is actually called the scary screen in most Chromebook documentation.
Really?
Yeah. Why? What it is, when you put the Chromebook in developer mode, when you first turn it on, it comes up with this big warning, your Chromebook is in developer mode, press space to fix this.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it's very much, you shouldn't be doing this. Bad person. Bad.
Is there at least a ghost or an image of Freddy Krueger or something to make it scary?
No. It just looks like your computer. It's intentionally looks like your computer's broken and that the only option you have is to hit space to re-enable the regular mode. But if you wait 30 seconds, it goes away and the computer boots normally. Or if you hit Control-D, it boots normally. Well, if you hit Control-U after you've got it in developer mode and enabled USB booting, it'll try to boot from the SD card or from a USB stick. And, it sounds straightforward, but it's kind of not, because these things are finicky as all hell. My final conclusion, I did find a post on the Kali forums that had a lot of good information and instructions that wasn't very well documented in the actual Kali documentation. About getting this to work. For example, the second kernel on there is actually for USB booting. But I think the partition in the current Chromebook image for Kali that holds the USB booting kernel is fucked up. So it pretty much only works from an SD card. I could not get it to work from any of three different USB sticks. which pain in the butt constantly dropping these images on these things. Try to get it to go. But I also found a guide on the Silicon Nexus to getting the Wi-Fi working, which is funny because on the current build, as soon as it came up, the Wi-Fi was working. I didn't need that, but I've got the link anyways. So what I ended up having to do to get this thing to work was I took the image. You know, you download an IMG file and you DD it onto an SD card, right? Yeah. So I did that, and then I took it onto my main rig and brought up Parted. Not G-Parted, but Parted. Because the image has a... the partition table it drops on there is wrong. And Parted can fix it. It just needs to rescan it for the drive space because it'll have... Unless you have the exact model of SD card they made the image on, the drive geometry isn't going to match, and this breaks it. This screws it up. It won't boot. So you have to let Parted fix this, which, you know, is a fairly quick little process. And then, of course, I used it to grow the partition out to the full size of the SD card because it's an 8 gig image, and I used a 32 gig SD card. So after I did that, I put it on the Chromebook and then used the GPT tool to repair the GPT boot table and then assign the kernels as per the documentation, which is just going in and setting some flags in GPT, and then finally got the damn thing to boot. So it did come up. Wi-Fi worked. The thing runs okay, and most of the tools are missing. So I was like, damn it.
They aren't ported for ARM?
Well, they're in the repositories. They're just not in the image.
Oh, okay.
I think they did that for size reasons, but it's just kind of like the whole point behind Kali Linux is to have all the stuff pre-installed for you, and you just basically end up with a Debian build. So it's just like, oh! But it's real Linux on the Chromebook, and it's nothing to go get the tools out of the repos. So,
right.
Yeah, it's working, and it's not anywhere near as simple as the documentation makes it look.
What about performance-wise?
It seemed all right. I only got to play with it for maybe 20 minutes or so, but just browsing around, downloading stuff, clicking on it, performance seemed fine. It seemed like the graphics wanted to chug a little bit because it's trying to pull up GNOME 3. I'm probably going to drop XFCE or something else like that on there to lighten it up a little bit because
right.
I don't know that the graphics chip in it, it's actually got, the Chromebook actually has a fairly decent graphics chip in it. I just don't know that the Xorg driver for it is all that great.
Okay.
It's one of those embedded ARM things.
Right.
So I think it's kind of like the Raspi in that regard, that Xorg just isn't really meant to run on it. So.
Well,
anyways,
cool.
though, I've got the links in the show notes. You can get it to work. It does work. You've just got to hold your mouth right and make the proper sacrifices to the computing gods. And I don't know. Get a shaman.
Turn your Chromebook into an actual computer.
Yeah, pretty much.
Those things are pretty light, aren't they?
It's very light, and battery life is awesome on it too. So
that's what I was just thinking. Like, if you had actual full blown Linux on there, it'd be kind of nice for war driving or war walking or doing something like that.
There's
walking.
An arch.
What are you in, a third world country? God damn it.
There is, in fact, a SKU of Arch for it, and I think I'm probably going to end up eventually building that because I like Kali Linux, but without all the tools preloaded in it, if I got to go and do them all by hand, that kind of defeats the point. So, but I'll probably try to do Arch on it next. So, pretty much, though, that's all I got.
Well, when you've done that, you can come turn my TV into a fucking TV.
Yeah, I can't.
Don't
really help you
buy
there.
LG smart TVs, whatever you do. I just had a complete fucking nightmare just to even get a signal. Buy a brand new TV, turn on. Here's the fucking end user agreement. What the fuck? yeah, agree to end user. Can't. No internet connection for it. Oh, okay, then you don't get a fucking signal. It wouldn't even pull an analog signal out of the sky because I didn't want to agree to plug it into the fucking internet. Right. And Morps, thank you. You saved me, dude, last night.
You know when you said when we were going through the instruction manual, it says do not directly hardwire into mains electricity, and you said, well, you know, and I laughed at that, said who the fuck would do that, and you said big companies installing lots of them at once. I got thinking, there must be a factory reset, because that thing is technically a computer, isn't it? Well,
yes, it
part
is.
Of. I'm thinking, there has to be a way to, like, reboot the entire lot. Lo and behold, on the back there is, you got to stick a match head into it, excuse me for a sec, and it will reset to the, what looks like the television BIOS. Go into the television BIOS, down through there, and select hotel. Click. That's the mode you want to run it in. Guess what? No end user agreement, and it just goes through the motions itself.
Nice.
Yep. Because I was thinking about it, man, what you said, I'm like, yeah, what if they install a lot of these? Just like schools, they're not going to have a different key for Windows on every machine. They're not going to have a single dude go around and do every TV settings. They're just going to have a plug it in, and it does it itself mode. There has to be a way. So if you're getting a smart TV, try and buy one that has a reset that you can see, hit that, switch to hotel mode, and then you've just got a standard TV that doesn't need hooking up to the internet. Very frustrating, though.
Well, since we're in pure decking, which model of LG did you do so that we know which one to buy and hit the reset on?
I will let you know after the show, because it requires me to get up, go downstairs, open the bins, look in the bin, and have a look at the box. No one prints numbers on bloody machines anymore.
Oh, yeah, they do. They're just on a really small tag in the back. I have to look at them on occasion.
Yeah, at least it stopped raping anything with a Wi-Fi signal around the entire estate. Because that's what it was trying to do when it couldn't get a hardline single.
My favorite are always the electronics that get locked into the stored demo mode. Our stereos are particularly bad about that.
I've never had that, but this is why I don't watch TV. My TVs are horrible.
I don't watch TV because usually there's nothing good on, or I'm working when there's something
good.
Okay,
another thing too, it's like high def, right? The high def 3 or whatever it is. Okay. The worst fucking idea in the world, high definition. Everything looks shit. It looks like a YouTube video. I'm trying to watch.
Yeah,
because
it blows
Wars.
Everything up.
It looks like a fucking YouTube video. Even when I put a high-definition Blu-ray fucking disc into it, it just looks like a YouTube video. It's terrible. No, I want... It's terrible. And standard definition is king. Wasting our time going to high-def. I do not want to see every wrinkle and every imperfection on a newsreader's face. The news is bad enough as it is without having to look at the monsters that feed it to me. Anyway, Morps, thank you for letting me have my rant.
No
pissed
problem.
Off yesterday. I'm pissed off today. Fuck you, LG.
All right. So, listen to the stream. We are always working on it. We just got a bunch of work done on it. I think Big is getting ready to add a bunch of new music to the rotation. I think we were going to through with some of the rotation scripts here in the next few weeks too, so definitely keep the stream going. I think we're going to have some new stuff playing through there. Shoot the Noise on Wednesdays, Missing Dialogues on Tuesdays, IHN on Saturdays, the Galaxy 15 Radio site, the Twitter handle, the Galaxy 15 Radio Sim on OS Grid, the feedback forum, the subreddit, and, you know, worst case scenario, you know, TCP/IP via carrier pigeon to Big Brother's front yard,
preferably with H5N1 in it.
They're bringing back the passenger pigeon, so we can start using those soon.
Passenger pigeon? I like this idea.
Wait, passenger pigeon. That's got to be a really small dude that can ride the back of a pigeon.
No, that's a new Disney movie. It's up to the old dude goes insane and just starts super gluing pigeons to the roof.
Oh, damn. All right, I'm gonna hit play on this music now.